Thank the Lord. Let's look at your sheet for the sake of time. Now, we were on a series for some time called Seek First the Kingdom of God. We've taken a break from that for a while, and we're going to pick that up here. We have some other things going on, too. We'll see. You know, we just be led week to week on what we're hitting, but we're going to go back to seek first the kingdom of God. So just to get everybody on the same page, get us moving in the same direction, we're going to review a little bit. We've gone over these scriptures in depth. So if you miss those, I encourage you, go back on the website, go back to the previous messages, listen to them, get caught up with us, because we can't say everything that we've said, or else we'd be here, you know, till tonight, and you guys probably don't want to do that. I don't think I got somewhere to be later today, too. So let's just, if you can, go to the website and catch up. But we're going to go over some of these scriptures here to review. So Matthew 6, 24, 31 through 34, there on your sheet. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's money. We'll see that in a minute. Verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek," that just means people without God. Here it meant non-Jewish people, but you know, as the world's gone on, I mean, that means people without God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not a Christian, that would refer to people in general. It says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek," and we know that, right? All you have to do is look around. Majority of people, they're seeking, you know, they're thinking about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What is my next car going to look like? What is my house going to look like? You know, all these things that are natural. And it says, these things the Gentiles seek. We know that, right? You know, people are looking after this. And he said, "For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things." God knows what we need. He already knows it. Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall," what? "They'll be added to you." That doesn't mean you have to track them down, work real hard, get them. That doesn't mean we don't work. We work. You do what the Lord would have you to do, and you do it with all your might. The Bible says to do everything you do as unto the Lord. On the other hand, there's a difference between trusting completely in your own ability to get you what you need and doing what you're called to do and trusting the Lord. There's two different things there. That doesn't mean you sit on your bed and wait and say, "Well, all these things are going to be added to me." Nope, they won't. You won't get anywhere doing that. That's not what the Bible said. It said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." That means go to him, you do what he would tell you to do, and these things, what things, the things you need for this life in abundance, they're going to be added to you. They're going to chase you down. You don't have to go out and try to get them and scrimp and save and act like there is no God. You trust him, take him at his word, and these things will come to you. Verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So look at this verse, and next thing on your sheet there, in the New Living Translation. This makes it a little bit more clear to us in some ways. Verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." That means you have to take your orders from somewhere. And if the money tells you to do one thing, but the Lord is saying, "No, do this," you have a decision to make. "Well, yeah, but this pays five times my salary. I should go there no matter what." Did you ask God about it? Did you ask the Lord, is that what you're supposed to do? Because if he says, "No, I need you over here. I need you to be doing this. I don't care that thing is five times your salary." If you're going to be led by that, you say, "Well, that's a no-brainer. You know, this is five times what I'm making. Look at all the good I could do for God." Yeah, but if God told you to go somewhere else, don't you think God knows what he needs done? If he tells you to do one thing and you say, "Yeah, but I could make so much money. I could give so much money and do so much for the kingdom of God if I went over here." Yeah, but if God's telling you to go over here, what do you think you ought to listen to? Don't you think God knows what he needs to get done on this earth? Yes, he does. So we ought not be led by money. And we all have this choice. You could insert anything here, but we're focusing on that. That's the context of the scripture. That's what he's talking about. You cannot serve both God and money. We spent some time on. It's not, you can try, you can do it if you try real hard. You can do it. But it's only for the select, the elite few. It doesn't say that. It says you cannot. And if God says you cannot, you can't. You may look like you are, but you're not. So verse 31 says, so don't worry about these things, saying what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And that's what we're focusing on. That's the thrust of this series. Seek the kingdom of God above what? All else. That means number one. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So that's the thrust of where we're going. Now, we covered these other scriptures, but like I said, we're going to review a little bit. Luke 16, next one on your sheet there, Luke 16:10. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, that's money, you'll see that again, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what another man's, who will give you what is your own? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now look at that same verse again in the New Living Translation, Luke 16:10. It says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. What does that mean? If you do what you're supposed to do in something that's small, in other words, you have integrity, you're faithful, you show up on time, you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be faithful in larger things. So many people are saying, well, just skip me to the big stuff, that's what I want. But have you proven yourself? Have you done what you're supposed to do on the way up? Right? We know this naturally, but sometimes people get, you know, confused and whacked in the head, and they think, well, no, I'm ready. Just put me to the front lines. I don't need to go all that through all that training or, you know, all those years of doing stuff. I'm ready. I can do it now. Well, that's foolish. People in the natural know that. You don't just put a novice in a position of authority right away. You got to learn some things, right? It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. God's going to train you. He's going to test you. He's going to bring you up. Don't worry about whether you're going to be used or not. Okay? Don't ever worry about whether God Almighty is going to use you. God is the best manager there is. If we can think somebody on a baseball team or a football team can manage something and say, hey, I'm going to use... You don't put a lineman in the quarterback position. You know, you're going to put your quarterback in the quarter. If you can't throw the ball, I'm not going to put you in the quarterback position. Right? And, you know, vice versa. I'm not going to put you on the line if you know, you weigh 200 pounds. It's not going to work. But with God, people will say, you know, but I'm ready. I'm ready to throw the ball. Why don't you put me there? Because you're not ready to throw the ball. But I am. So what you're saying is God doesn't have as much sense as a man when it comes to managing things, and you're ready. You're ready to do it. You have all the ability, but poor old God's just sitting there going, not going to use you yet. This doesn't make any sense. That's not the way God operates. He will promote you as soon as, I mean, faster. Men may take a while to recognize something in you, but the Lord's not that way. As soon as you're ready, he's going to put you up. You're going to go up to the next, and then you'll look back and go, man, I thought I was ready 3 years before, but now I look back on it, I was just getting into where I needed to be, and boom, there it was. God had the opportunity. He said, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you will be dishonest, or you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. That's the way it works. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? In other words, there are things more important than this world and money. Much more important. Souls, spirits of people. Where we're going to live when we're past this earth is infinitely more important than what you do, what you have, how much money you have on this earth. Amen. It's not even close. It doesn't matter. You could be a billionaire, and if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to be a good thing when you leave this earth. Amen. It says, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't. So we talked about some of those things. We're going to hit a few of the things that we've gone over in these coming scriptures, but I want to So we may recap certain things, but I want to go in a certain direction now. Look at your scripture sheet at Exodus 20. We'll turn in the word in a minute here, but these are some things I want to hit just to save time. Exodus 20, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these things, all these words, saying," now this is when the Lord is giving the Ten Commandments. This is that portion of Scripture, and it says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." No other gods before me. That's the first commandment. Notice that. It doesn't matter what. Now, we're specifically talking about material goods and money because it is very important what we do, and it really represents our life, right? We've said that. How did you get, majority of us, unless you're independently wealthy, you got your money because you're working a job. Somebody doesn't just give you money just so you just come and sit in the office and do nothing. You know, you're doing something, adding value, so then you get a paycheck. You're earning it. Well, how did you get the paycheck? You're giving your life. You're giving your time. That's your life. And so what you do with your money is very telling to where your heart is. I mean, people in the world, they'll say that, right? Put your money where your mouth is. The Bible says where you find somebody's money, that's where their heart is. But God said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have," how many? "No other gods before me." You could say whatever you want here. You could put it in. Well, you know, and I'm not knocking any of these things, okay? They all have their place, but the place should not be number one. You could say, "Well, no, I love sports," and you can name your sport, but I mean, I'm all about it, whatever it is. Not going to name any, and you can fill in the blank. Not knocking anyone. I just love sports. Or I just love reading. Man, I just love a good novel. I just love certain, you know, love to read about nonfiction. I love history, whatever. Okay, fine. Well, I just love to work out. That's my passion. You know? Or I love video games. Just love, you know, love to play video games. Okay, fine. You could insert it with any number of things. Love food. I just love to eat. Well, those things are all fine. They're not wrong in and of themselves. What messes us up is when we start putting something in front of God. In front of the Lord. Because he said, "You shall have how many gods?" You can have two or three or four in front of me. No, he said, nothing goes in front of me. He has number one place. How about your spouse? That sounds pretty good. People say, "Well, surely my family." I put my family first. Really? Okay. That's not what the Lord said. He didn't say your family goes first. Did I say family was important? Oh, it's very, very important. It's just not first. Because you know what? If you put your family above your relationship with God, your family relationships are going to get messed up. Yes. Well, but I just love my kids so much. Love them more than the Lord? More than God? That's where a lot of people miss it. Because, well, I wouldn't do that. I don't want to take my kids and get them to church because, you know, they're involved in earth. I just love them. I want them first. So what are we telling them? God's not important. Actually, your sports or whatever, that's more important. Yeah. Right? And that's where we have just a whole generation that we've taken over everything. No, yeah, my child's got to be in this, got to be in this, got to be in this. It's okay, you know, that's why you look out on a Sunday morning, there's not a whole lot of people doing this. Used to be, it was. Now, Sunday's just another day. It's a day to relax, right? Now, people have put whatever in front of the Lord. And so you could put whatever you want in there, but when you do that, and then we wonder, why is the world in such a condition? I just don't know. But the answer is certainly not that we've left God. That is not the answer. Now tell me, how do we solve this problem? It's like this problem is staring you in the face. And you're looking around looking for an answer, and it's staring you here. Well, that's not it. And you look right at it, but that doesn't exist. So that's not it. But I'm looking for the answer. You could look all day, right? And you could try everything. But if you don't try this, if you don't get back to the core root, you could do it. I can't figure it out. Somebody on the outside could maybe say, well, dude, did you try this over here? This is obvious. Yeah, but that's not the problem. Why isn't the problem? Well, we determine that's not important anymore. That doesn't exist. So we can't look at that. People are saying, well, God doesn't exist. Well, we're not going to do it his way. So we're going to do it our way. But that's not the reason things are in shambles. That's not the reason people walk into schoolrooms and kill somebody. That's not the reason. It's not a lack of God. It couldn't be anything that we've taken God out of everything. We've taken the Lord out of our culture. It's not that. It's something else. It's the gun. It's not the gun. It's the person that used the gun. We had more guns 50 years ago than we did now in people's hands. And look, I mean, people were, they had them accessible. Not going to get into that because that's a political issue. But it's a warped mentality because we're putting the... See, as long as we do that, we're looking at the wrong thing. You're not looking at the root of the problem. As long as you don't solve the root, you can spend all your time on these symptoms. Anybody ever done any gardening or own the lawn? You can cut off the top of the thing all day long, but unless you get down to the root, you're just going to have the same problem next year, right? You need some Roundup or something. Squirt that thing, make it go down to the root, and then it's done. Done. Right? We know that, but then we're stupid sometimes when it comes to normal stuff. But God said, we're not supposed to have any other gods before him. Well, I guess that would include money, like he said. He said, you can't serve two masters. You cannot do it. Got to choose. You have to choose. Amen. Is that right or not? Now, we read this one too. Let's read it on the sheet. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. Everybody settled on that fact. Everybody agree?
Yes.
You didn't bring anything in. When you came out of your mother's womb, you're crying and you're not bringing, you know, a duffel bag with you. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, we can't carry anything out. Everybody settled on that part? Because that's the part I think a little bit people are not so settled on. People act like when they get done, they're taking it all with them, and that just isn't so. And you wouldn't want to anyway. Let me tell you, your phone, I don't care if it's the newest one, your car, I don't care if it's the newest one, is nothing compared to what we have in heaven. It says the streets are paved with gold. They use it as pavement, gold.
Yes.
It's paved with gold. The gates are huge. All these different, they have all these precious stones embedded in them. Pearl gates themselves. God is not concerned with all this stuff. He made all this stuff. He's not impressed with diamonds. Well, but it's worth this much. You're going to tell the Lord that. Yeah, but it's worth this. Okay, I don't care. Any amount of that stuff is not worth one human being.
That's right.
It's not. To the Lord, he's not concerned with all that stuff that, you know, this flashy, shiny people get all, well, I want that. Yeah, well, that's not the important thing. Now, he's not against it at all. He's not against the stuff because it takes stuff to live. How many of you walked into the store and they gave you, just gave it, you just picked it out and you just went out to the cash register and they just gave you what you're wearing right now. Didn't have to give them anything for it. You just picked it all out and you said, I want that. And they said, good, have a good day. We'll see you next week. You come in and just get more. Is that what they said? Now, you handed over something. Might have been cash, might have been a card, whatever, but you gave them something. That's money, right? You gave them something to get it. We need money to get around in this world. God knows we need it. God's not against money. He's just against it controlling you. That's it. Because I'll tell you what, these speakers, they didn't come down and install these things and give them to us for free.
That's
this microphone, that keyboard, these monitors, the iPad we're using to control the thing. They didn't say, hey, we called up and said, you know what, we're going into a new space, expanding a little bit with the church. Hey, you know, we're a church. You want us to donate, you know, $20,000 worth of equipment? We didn't say that. We went to four different people, got quotes, and determined the right one, signed a contract, gave them 60% down, and then they did it. Well, but if it's just, you know, God just rains money down in heaven and then we'll get it. No, he's going to use men to do what he needs to do here on this earth. So we need money. He's not against money. He's against it dictating your life. That's what he's against. Everybody got that? That's what we're talking about here. So look at 1 Timothy. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. That means, as long as you have food in your tummy and you're clothed, which we're all appreciative when we're all clothed. When we have clothes, then we're content. That doesn't mean you're satisfied. That's all. Because if we all, think about it, if we all just had food and we all just had clothing, how are we going to do anything like what we're talking about here? How would this ever get done? How would you ever be able to help somebody else? What if let me put it this way. If all we have is enough money, is all we had is our food and our clothing, and somebody doesn't have food and clothing, how are you going to help them? Because if you take your clothing off, guess what? Now you're running around naked. If you give them your food, guess what? You're going to be hungry, or your children are going to be hungry. So how are you going to help them? Well, you need more than that, right? You need to have more to help somebody else. And that's the bottom line. God wants people to be helped. God wants people to know him. That's it.
That's right.
That's more precious than anything. Now, that's what he's saying. We should be content. But those who desire to be rich, notice that, not that are rich. You can desire to be rich and don't have a penny. Fall into what? Temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For what? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It didn't say money. Money is inanimate. It just sits there. You have a stack of hundreds and you put it on the table, guess what? It's going to be on the table 10 years from now if there isn't any, you know, wind blowing and nobody comes and takes it. It's not moving. In other words, it doesn't get up and go and hatch a plan and go do something evil. It's not the money. The money can be used for good. It can be used for bad. It's not that messes people up. It's the love of money. It's putting money above other things and putting money above the things that are really important. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. Imagine that. They leave the Lord. They leave God and said, I want money. That's going to be so short. We're going to live for millennia, forever. They're going to look back and go, wow. I mean, to really leave God completely and reject Jesus, that is the height of foolishness. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. So we talked about some of this. We've hit a lot of these things in depth. So I encourage you, if you haven't heard some of that, and it's been several weeks, that's why I've taken the time to get us here. But that's what we're talking about. We've hit a lot of these points I kind of glossed over in depth. So I encourage you, if you haven't heard it, go back, listen to them. But I want to go a little further in this and hit the part about putting that money ahead of the Lord. Look at, let's turn over. Let's see. How shall we do it? Yeah, let's go over to Proverbs. Let's go over to Proverbs 23, or you can look on your sheet. That's fine too. If you have your own Bible and you're used to reading a Bible, then I encourage you change it, but or go turn there. But if you don't, just look at it on your sheet. Proverbs 23. Eventually, you know, we'll have that up on the screen when we turn to scriptures. Proverbs 23, verse 4. I like this scripture. Every time I go through, so as I'm reading my devotions, I'll go through the Proverbs, periodically read a Proverbs every so, and just so you're constantly going through. There's 31? Just know this. If you've never preached, there's times you think that's obvious. There's sometimes you go back into your mind and have to pull that information out, and you grind gears. That's what's happening, so be merciful. You say this course is 31. But it's like you're hooked up with your spirit, and you got to go pull that thing out. People that have preached know what I'm talking about. 23 verse 4. Proverbs 23 verse 4. But anyway, I was saying about Proverbs. Those are it fits to what's in a month. You don't have to read one every month, but they are wisdom to us. If you'll read them, you'll get wisdom, earthly. I mean, not earthly, but practical. Godly wisdom that will help you to live life, help your business affairs. Proverbs 23 verse 4 says, "Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, then fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Do not overwork to be rich. You say, "Well, I'm not doing that." Okay. Let's examine that. Because that doesn't necessarily look like people think it is. What people think it looks like. When people read this, I think a lot of times what they think is some guy that's in the upper echelons of corporations or owns their own business or really, has millions of dollars and is going after it. They're overworking, they're putting their family aside, and they're just going after it. He's just the stereotypical put money in front of everything else guy. That's what, and they say, they look, people look at that and go, "Not me, next scripture." But it's not like that. It's not just that. That is an example, yes. But it is any time, what did it say? Do not overwork to be rich. Well, rich is different for different people. Rich means an abundant supply. And this is where I think this trips people up, because people say, "Well, I'm not rich, so clearly I don't qualify." It didn't say you are rich, it says to be rich. Do you realize that everybody in this room is rich? By world standards. You go around the world, you're going to find that what you thought you didn't have a lot, you are rich. If you've been to different places in the earth, you will find there are a whole lot of people that have way worse than you do right now. You are rich. But certain things that we take for granted, other people would consider a luxury. Is this not true? And so what we say, sometimes when we say, "Well, no, I need these things and these things," that's just what everybody has. Not everybody. Not true. Not true. Certain people around you, yes. But what are they giving up to do to get that? Let me ask you a question. How many of those people are serving God and putting Him first? And putting their family next? And doing what they need in their health? You can trade your health for more money. But eventually you'll be trading your money to get that health back. You don't want to do that. Every person will run up against it. You have to manage your body. You can't just go and just go it flat out, pedal the metal. Your body will push back. And when it starts pushing back and you don't have an income stream, now guess what? The money you thought you made, guess where it's going to go? To support you. You don't have an income stream anymore. "Well, I'll find a way." Well, why not just do it the Lord's way now? I know what it's like to push my body too far, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I won't do it. I made stupid decisions years ago, and I dealt with certain, results of it, and I won't do it. It's not worth it. You don't need to push your body. God is clearly saying here, don't. He said, "Do not overwork to be rich." See, sometimes we're making decisions. Now, we have to examine it more closely. Do not overwork to be rich. Like I said, people say, well, I'm not in that verse. Yeah, but if you're working to get a certain standard, what do we read in 1 Timothy? It said, with food and clothing, we'll be content. That's a lot different than what a lot of people are thinking is the minimum bar. And so they'll make decisions and put things aside. Well, I need this. You don't understand, Jim. Look at my list of bills. I need these things. Really? Are other people living without them? Well, but that's not me. Well, then you just right there. We have to be honest with ourselves, right? What is the line? What's more important? Your health, your relationship with God, the relationship with your family? Is that more important with money? Anybody, if I asked them off the street, they'd be like, oh, of course it's the Lord, or of course if they're a Christian, or of course it's my family, I would never. But then we have to look, what are we doing? How are we acting? What did the Lord tell us to do? Now, I'm not getting in. This isn't my subject. We'll probably get here. Maybe we'll get here. Maybe we'll get into this in the coming weeks. I don't know. But I want to hit this before we leave. The Lord said to take a day off. Getting ahead of myself because I'm not going to give you a lot of scripture. I'm just going to dip into it a little bit. All you have to do is read a little bit further in the scripture we just gave in the Ten Commandments, the scripture we just gave. It says to take, you don't do any work on the Sabbath. That's part of the Ten Commandments. That has not changed. Look at the other Ten Commandments. Murder? It's okay to murder now?
No.
Okay to lie?
No.
Okay to have another God before God?
No.
What did it say about the Sabbath is right in there. And you know what? People say, well, that's part of the law. It's not part of the law. God said, because I created the earth, I rested on the seventh day. That predates everything.
That's right.
It hasn't changed. Well, Jesus is my rest. Yep, and he told you to take a day off. Well, Jesus did something on the Sabbath. He didn't work. He said, if you had something going on, you don't legalistically treat it like, well, I can't move because God said I can't do it. I can't help you. I'm sorry. That's legalism. Purposely going out and trying to get yourself out in the world is a different thing, and that's not what Jesus is talking about. Like I said, I'm just touching that. We'll get to it. But God said, I work 7 days. I put the earth into existence in six, and I rested. Not because he had to, not because he said, man, I'm exhausted. I got to sit down and take a rest. You know what that word rest means? It means to stop doing something you enjoy. That means you're having a good time, and you could do this all day, and you say, Lord, you told me this was the best thing. I'm going to stop. Oh, we could go here. This isn't my purpose. We'll get there. But God had reinforced this over and over when people had manna. They tried to gather more than they could. It wouldn't work. But if they gathered just what they needed, twice as much on the sixth day, guess what? It was still there. It's faith. Let me ask you a question. If you start working, when God said, take a day off, and you say, no, but I got to work, which one is guiding your life now, money or God? Which one? Yeah. But you don't know I need this. But what did God say? What did the Lord say? Does he know what he's doing or not? That is overwork. There's a time I didn't take a day off. When I went to school, I went to Rhema. I was contracting. You know, I worked for years as a software engineer in Lincoln, Nebraska. And then I stupidly quit that job and thought, well, I'll find something in Tulsa. That's another sermon about being led by the Spirit. But anyway, thinking, I'm going to the ministry. I don't need to work like that. I'm going to get another job because I'm going to train for the ministry. Said, you know, manager, I'm going to quit. I gave him plenty of notice. Moved down. Couldn't find anything. The jobs I was finding were nothing like what I had. I finally, long story, emailed my manager back and said, hey, you have any contract work for me? And he said, yeah, we're swamped. And I went on contract then and started being a contractor and working at home. And you know what? I specifically heard, and I had to look back on it, but God prompted me when I was orientation, about working so many hours. And I was like, that's too few. Because I was going to be going to school every morning, coming home. At that point, I had two children. I'm going to come home and I'm going to work. I had an office there at home. I'm going to work at the computer. you've never worked at home, it's a challenge, man. You got little kids coming around. It's a job just to get acclimated to that. It's not all gravy. But anyway, I did. And, you know, Andrew, I remember him. He would come down. He was like, you know, just a little toddler. And Shelly would keep a good eye on him. But every once in a while, then he'd be walking around. And then he'd just bolt down to my office and push the doors in and run in and give me a big hug. It was so sweet. He'd be tearing around the corner. And then Shelly would come around the corner. Andrew, got to take him. Wish I would have videoed it. I wish I would have videoed that. Many times I wish I would have videoed that. It was so cute. So sweet. Anyway, I'm working at home. So I got school in the morning, working at home in the afternoon, and then I go to 3 church services a week. I'm training for the ministry. I go to Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night, plus then I got to do homework. I only work so many hours. Hey, I'm training for the ministry. I got to do what I got to do, right? God impressed me specifically to take only so much, to work only so much. So I can't live on that. I got to do more. I started having hand problems and arm problems. Went to doctors, tried to get, but I didn't tell you this. I'm also taking notes that whole time, 2003, 2004, working constantly. Well, you know, you're using your mouse constantly, typing constantly. I'm a programmer. I'm constantly using the same keys with my right hand, you know, jumping around the code. I could fly. But you know what? I'm overusing my arm. But I got to take notes. But I got to work, feed my family. Started having problems at the end of that year. I kept going. Tried to change stuff, modified a lot of stuff, but I was working. I would work in the week, and then I would work Saturday in the morning. And then Sunday was not really a day off because I'd go to church. We were serving in the church, you know, a lot, and then in the night, and we were doing a lot of stuff, very involved, and didn't take a day off. So where I used to come home and rest those parts of my body for the weekend, I didn't anymore. Didn't intend to get here yet, but we're going here, okay? And I had problems. And you can go and try to ask God for healing and say, God, what's going on? I'm going to Bible school. Had him check out my nerves, going up to my neck. Did nerve tests, did physical therapy. But you know what? They finally said, we can do whatever, but if you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to heal. What am I going to do? Got to feed my family. Got to take notes. What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of that? Is that God's problem? It's not God's problem. What am I doing? I'm overworking. Had problems, physical problems. You can believe for healing all day long till you're blue in the face. Guess what? Until you line up with the other parts of God's word that says don't overwork, take a day off, not going to work. It won't work. Why? Because you're violating one part of God's word, and then you come over here and say, well, what's going on? It's the whole counsel of God, and God will prompt you. Long story short, I eventually got that sewed up. I made a lot of changes. I learned to load balance my body, not do so much on one, and then I don't have any problems now. If I overwork, I will. If I go too far, and I take a day off. I take Saturdays completely off. Now, I'm not putting me up. I'm just telling you where I got to. Where I arrived over time. The Lord had to deal with me. That's not an Old Testament scripture. I'm not going to get into, I can give you more scripture on it. We'll get there. Okay? But we're hitting on it today anyway. Don't overwork, because what is working 7 days when God told us to work 6? It's overwork. Why would you do that? Why would you do it? Because you don't believe the Lord. It's as simple as that. He's got 2 commands. If he tells you, you have 2 things in your life. If he tells you, don't overwork, you take this day off because you need it. You take it off, but if you go and say, but I can't, you have a problem. You have a problem. Either God's right or he's not right. Is he right or are you right? But I have these needs. Could God supply your need and help you to do it in 6 days? Yes, he's been doing it all these years for people. If you'll trust him. Well, I can't do without this second job. Go to the Lord. God does not want any person overworked. He does not. He just said, do not. And we're going to read a couple scriptures more about this. Do not overwork to be rich. There's a difference between overworking and working hard. We're not talking about you do a good day's work, you work hard. That's one thing. Overworking is when you jeopardize yourself. You put yourself too far. You start hurting, and you know it. You know it. You know it if you listen to your body. I'm going too far. I'm pushing. It hurts, or I'm tired. I don't know if I can keep up, but I just, what if you go and look at the root, why are you doing it? Because I need to do X. I have to. I need to. Why? So what you're saying, this goes back to the crux of what we're talking about. In that moment, if the Lord told me to do one thing, and he said, you work this much, you take a day off. And as far as scripture, I've searched it. I've looked at it, and we'll get there. Like I said, this is not the direction necessarily I was meaning to go completely. I can back all this stuff up in scripture. We'll hit it again. I can quote you some of them in Exodus right there. It talks about you taking a day off like the Lord, because the Lord, when he created the earth. And over in the Old Testament, you'll see where they were supposed to take off the Sabbath. And in the New Testament, let me ask you a question. It never undid that. We're still human beings, and that was established. God created the heavens and the earth before there were any laws or anything. You need it. And I will tell you, when you look at it, you say, well, why do I need to push? Well, I just have to do this. And people use it. Just like I was. I'm in Bible school. Got to feed my family. I'll work Saturdays. You know, I'll do whatever I need to on Sundays. Sounds good, but I'm breaking Scripture. And then I had problems. You don't think I argued with that different? Well, but I'm trying to find a way around it. It doesn't work. God's way works. You go through and look at those scriptures. God didn't tell you what exactly to do either on those days. He says, just don't work. And he said, everybody in your household. He said, your servants, the people that work for you, they ought to be still too. So just rest. Why? To get your mind on him. Oh, I just going. I just don't have any time to think. That's what your day off is supposed to be. For most of you, that's probably going to be a Sunday. For me, it's not a Sunday. This is not resting for me. But I don't do anything. I don't do any preparation for a sermon on Saturday. Some people ask me, how you do everything you're doing? You know what I do? I take a day off, and then I manage my time. I go to sleep and get enough sleep in the week. This is not gym, okay? I'm not putting gym up. I'm saying, but you can learn some things. It's in Scripture, but you try to violate it. It doesn't work. You get sleep. You watch what you eat. There's no legalistic thing there. You be led by the Spirit of God on what you eat. You don't take some diet that some man created and say, this is the way you have to eat. Everybody has a unique body. If you want to be real scripture, go look at what's actually in the Bible. And a lot of things that people think are good, they're not there. So you have to just be led on that. You need to keep your body maintained. You need to exercise it. You need to spend time with your family. If you do those priorities, but I can't, I got to do this. Why? Are we getting into it? I mean, this is where the society will throw all this out and says, no, you work as hard as you can. No, that's not what the Lord said. That's not faith. You have to listen to what he said. Do you think the Creator knows how the creation is supposed to work? Right? We have operations manuals for things we create. I'm a software engineer by trade. We have to create things, hopefully. Most of the time we try to show people how to use it. You think we know? We should know. Should. How to use it, right? Because we created. You think God knows how the human body is supposed to operate? You think he knows how much money we need? Does he? Yes. Does he or does he not?
He knows.
Because people think this is not spiritual. This is absolutely spiritual. This affects every part of your being. Because let me tell you, if you're overworked and tired, you cannot listen to the Spirit of God. You're anointed. You're not going to be anointed to do what you need to do. You're not going to have the mental capacity. You can get done in 10 hours what it takes 30 hours somebody to do if you're rested and refreshed and your mind is not distracted. Absolutely. True? I know that because there are times, I mean, I've written software, but I mean, in an afternoon, it's like one of those days, boom, 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 everything is clicking, you're in flow, and you can get stuff done. There are some days you stare at the screen, and you try to do stuff, and then that has a bunch of bugs in it, it doesn't work, and you go, and you like, man, I would have been better staying in bed because I just messed stuff up. And sometimes you push through when you're tired, and you got to come back, undo the stuff that you messed up because you were tired. Has anybody ever happened, that ever happened to anybody? I'm going to get this done. There was one night that I was, you know, young and stupid. And the boss needed something done. And it was like some part. I was doing the microcontroller stuff. And some part needed to be, you know, we were having problems. And we were going to, it was a smaller company. So, you know, we actually made the boards in-house and all this stuff. And we were going to be shipping this stuff and whatever. I said, and this was in the afternoon. I said, I'll come in the night. I'll stay overnight and I'll get that thing knocked out. Okay, Jim. I came in, you know, I'm in the, you know, in there 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And I got down to this point, and it was working, 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 then it get this point, and it would break. And I'd back up, and I'd go, okay, really slowly, working, add this code, working, code, break. And I was not thinking clear. I was like, what's going on with this thing? Got to be 5 in the morning, I'm done. I didn't solve the problem. But you know what? I don't have it in me to go the whole day. And, you know, I came in for a little bit, and I said, I'm going home. Well, what good did I do? Didn't solve the problem. I'm tired. It doesn't mess you up just for that day. Messes you up for more than that, right? You recover quicker when you're younger, but still, it messes you up. Why? Why? The Lord doesn't want us doing that. We're all going to die at some point. Why do you want to hurry up and get there? We're going to die at some point, but why don't we just go at a good pace so we can just keep it up indefinitely? The Lord doesn't want to burn you out.
That's right.
And He's already told us in His Word what to do. But so many times we'll spiritualize it to get around what... Because you know what? If you're used to not taking a day off, your flesh is going to have a problem with that. You're going to think, what am I doing? And you'll be so antsy to... I want to do this. And it's different from different people. For me, I don't use my hands much as far as like a computer task on Saturday. I'm just being really honest with you guys. I don't do that type of stuff. I don't play the piano. Why? Because it's the same type of muscles. I take that off. You know what? I don't have problems. But if I try to push through and then go into another week, that's when you feel it. Well, it might be different for you. But if you'll do what the Lord told you to do, you won't have problems. You'll be able to keep going. But I'm telling you, you try to take something off and don't overwork, your flesh wants to get in there and just go do something. I'm wasting time. I'm trying to get this done. And if somebody sends you an email or something and calls you, you're just like, yeah, I'll come help. Because why? It's hard. But you do it for several weeks, boy, pretty soon you'll start. It takes a little bit, but you'll start feeling it. You'll start feeling rejuvenated. You'll start... I'm rested. I'm more full of life. I can, in those 6 days, you can get more done, just like the manna. You get more done. You're fresh. You're not snapping at your kids, snapping at your spouse. You're clear-headed. And then you try to go back and start working, and you'll find out, oh my goodness, you try to go back and after you've taken the time off and start using it again, you will find real quick, wow. You'll be tired the next week. I've done that, and then I'm tired all week. You say, how can that be? God set it up. You hearing me? But He said, don't overwork to be rich. Because of what? Because of your own understanding. Cease. You hear that? Cease. I know in our society things are always going on, but it's not supposed to be that way. Now, people get legalistic about anything. Well, it has to be this day, this day. You know what? The bottom line is God told you to take a day off. Reconcile that. Don't get into the side, well, it's Sunday, Saturday. You know what? just take care of that. Do that. Don't worry about it. People get legalistic about everything. Don't get sucked into that. But he said, cease. You stop. Just go back. Read it. Exodus. It just says very plainly, nobody in your house should be doing anything. Now, men have tried to make it into all kinds of things and add laws and regulations and this or it's that. Just go read the Bible. It doesn't say most of that. It just says, you work. You don't work. You cease. Nobody in your family should be doing anything. Reconcile that. That's the scripture. That's not men's ideas. That's what the Bible says. He said, don't overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going after it. Yeah, you and several billion other people are thinking they're going to get they're going to be the ones that are going to get it done. I won't get old. I won't wear out. I'm strong. Foolish. The Bible says, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Will you set your eye on something that is not? That's like a mirage. I'm going towards that out there. Only when you get there, it's not there. Not what you thought it was going to be like. How many people? I've heard of people. You've heard of people. I have friends. One I'm thinking about in particular. Very, very talented individual. Could play the piano like, very good voice. Very talented in media and sound and all kinds of things. Wrote songs. He wore himself out. And he died of a heart attack when he was 44 or 45. His family doesn't have a daddy now. He has four children. I'm not knocking him. I'm saying he was my friend. But we watched him. And he was serving God. He was in the ministry. Is that God's will? No, it wasn't. It's not God's will. God did not take him. People get whacked about, well, God took him, need him in heaven. God did not need him in heaven. He needed him here. He took himself out. I'm not knocking him. I'm not throwing stones. I'm saying we don't have to do the same things other people do. If they make a mistake and it's against the word, we ought to say, whoa, I'm not going to do that. Not condemnation. I'm saying, but you can see it. You see the writing on the wall. Know of another individual, pastor of a large church. Going, looking like he's doing great. Did not take care of himself. Died when he was 45, had a heart attack. His son took over. That God's will? Did God take him? No, he took himself out. Let me tell you something. You go, there's one of these high voltage things out, you know, like one of these things that carry electricity, the power lines out there, and it says keep away. And you go and grab one of those things or whatever and get in there. God did not take you. Okay? You did something and you took yourself out. But people invent this stuff. Well, I don't know. God took him. No, there is always a reason. God is good. God did not take anybody. There is an enemy. There is an adversary. He is called the devil. He goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. And he hates man and he tries to destroy him. If he can't destroy you one way, he's got other ways. One of them is this right here, what we're talking about. He can't get you to stop. He can't get you to not do follow God. Guess what? Fine. Go full bore. I'll push you till you break. You got to do it for God. You got to do it for the ministry. This isn't done. You better keep going. It's not done. Keep going. Why? I need to take some rest. No, you better keep going. He'll push you. You ever feel pushed? That's not God. I'm going to say that again. You ever feel pushed, like you have to do something, it is not God. Amen. The Lord does not push. He is the good shepherd. Shepherds don't drive sheep. They lead them. You drive cattle. You drive goats. You do not drive sheep. Bible says we are his sheep, we hear his voice. God is peaceful. God is calm. God is never in a frenzy to get anything done. That would mean he didn't know things were coming. Think about it. If you're in a frenzy to get something done, that means you're short on time, which means you didn't have everything in place that you needed to have. Does that sound like God? Did he? He didn't know what was coming, so now he's in a frenzy. Oh, goodness, how are we going to do this? I don't know. I mean, my whole plan for the United States or France or whatever, it's done. I just don't know what to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He already has it all planned out. So if we're listening to him, is there a time then, oh, no, God, I didn't get this done. It's got to be done. That's not God. It's not the Lord. The Lord is calm and peaceful. Never will ruffle. He never has his feathers ruffled. He's always calm. What are we going to do? I don't know. I'll go to the Lord. He'll tell me what to do. He's never uptight. But you know what? It's hard on your flesh sometimes. If you're used to going, to just stop. Try it. Try to sit still and do nothing when you're used to filling every minute of every day, checking emails, going from thing to thing to thing, so that your thought process, you know, is about this deep, because you go to one thing, the next thing. And if you just stop, it can be a little bit intimidating. It can be intimidating to just stop. What are we going to do? Why don't we talk? What if we read the Bible? What if we prayed? What if we just hung out and did nothing that had any end in itself except to build ourselves up and get refreshed and enjoy life? What about that? Just get refreshed and focus on the Lord. What about that? Well, I don't have an end. I don't have anything out of it. You don't? Peace? Clarity of mind? People are trying to buy that. People spend big money to try to get that. You think that's not something worth getting? Well, I got through this day and I didn't get anything done. Really? Depends on what your definition of getting something done is. Oh, I just built a relationship with my family. Rested my mind. Got my muscles rejuvenated. Got some extra sleep. Take a nap. Ooh, that's not a dirty word. Got some rest that I needed. Feel good. You know, during that time I was talking to you about at Rhema, there were times on Sunday after I come home from church, I was so tired. And sometimes I would take a nap and it would just, you know, those naps, you're done, you're gone, you're underwater. You wake up and you think, what day is it? You have to, the alarm would go off because we'd have to get up. You know, Shelly would be singing for Sunday night, or I'd get up. I'm just dazed, but I'd get up and I'd go, we'd get there, and you know, I had Brianna and Andrew at that point. I'd take them. Shelly would have to go into the place to rehearse. You know, 5:15, service is like 7 o'clock. And I'd go, we'd drop her off, and we'd just go out to the swings, and I'd be swinging them out there. But I don't know, there was days I just felt like, oh my gosh, I feel like a new man just getting that sleep. My body just needed it. Just rejuvenated, fresh. I was overworked. I was frazzled, tired. So then taking a day off and actually feeling like that week in and week out and feeling good, feeling rested, feeling like I've spent the proper time with my family, you know, that'll weigh on you. You know, you'll condemn yourself. I'm not taking care of my body, not taking care of my family. You know what? That's in the back of your mind. If you're not doing it, it'll break you down. Do you know it? It's not just the physical. It'll weigh on your mind. It'll rip you apart. People start having physical problems. Wonder why. Your mind's trying to tell you to take a break. Your mind's trying to deal with these things that aren't done. Is that worth anything? I mean, that's the way God told us to do it. Having peace of mind, having a rested body. Why are we doing that? Because end of the game. What you have to get something done for what? It comes down to money. Don't fool yourself. It's money. Why do you need? Well, I need to go mow the lawn because I don't have anybody to go. What if? But I have to do that. So I have to mow it here. But that comes down to money. Because if you had money, if you had somebody to just what to go do it, then you could do it a different day. You could say, "Well, I'm not doing that today. I'm going to do it Monday." It's all about what do we trying to get done, and I think I don't have enough money to do it, so therefore, I am one of the chosen few. I have to work. Somebody may have the luxury of not working, but I have to work 7 days. I just have to. That's a lie. Everybody say it after me. That's a lie. Does God know what he's talking about or not? Does he set that in place or not? He said, do not overwork to be rich, and he didn't call a bunch of people's names after that. He said, don't do it. That means all of us. And we can all be guilty of it, and our society completely promotes it. Does it not? Nobody is going to hold you back. In fact, they'll look to you and say, you are such a hard worker. Good job, buddy. Keep it up. And they'll chew you up and spit you out and get another one. They make them every day. New people coming up every day. Most men don't care anything about you. They don't care anything about your health. What do they want done? They want this done. I mean, we were just talking about it yesterday. Thing after thing. I'm not against technology. I'm in the technology business. But so many things are being introduced. Why? To save money, to make more money. And they're not about the end game. Not about actually doing what's good for people. It's just about making it a little bit more efficient, and at the end of the day, it will actually have a negative effect. But that's men. Men do this. Men will encourage you to do this. But the Lord will never do it. Say this. Say, the Lord will never ask me to overwork. He won't. But I have to. Take this right, you're deceived. Because it does not line up with Scripture. It's wrong. We've bought a package of lies. We've bought the goods. Somebody told us somewhere, you have to do this, and we bought it. And we think and it'll go with this, a lot of times, it'll be with this martyr thing. I have to do it. Well, that's good for you. You can take your time off, but you have... And if you find yourself being resentful of somebody, it's a sure sign you are doing exactly what we're talking about. You look at somebody that you look at them and say, well, they have the time to do this. Why is that? Sure, that's great for you, but it doesn't work for me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible wasn't written to a specific person. It just tells us what to do. Well, I wish I could do that. Why don't you? The truth is because we choose not to. And you know what? Nobody's going to force it on you. Nobody's going to tell you, all right, that's enough, stop, because you're an adult. I'm an adult. We have to go to the Lord and say, God, what would you have me to do? Maybe, let me ask you something, or let me tell you something. Somebody said this, and it's absolutely true. You have to disobey God to burn out. I'm going to say it again. You have to disobey the Lord to burn out. You have to disobey him. You have to add things that you're not supposed to do. You have to not listen to him when he's telling you to slow down. You have to disobey him. People say, why did that guy burn out? God did not put too much on him. That person went and added things and would not pull back. Now, what's the solution? Beat ourselves up, go, I messed up on that too. No, just go before the Lord and say, is that me? What should I be doing? And he has an answer, believe it or not, for everybody. He has a path for everybody so that we can be all that we're supposed to be on this earth while we're here. The short time that we have here, we can do what we need to do and get it done. He doesn't need one superhuman. Jesus is the superhero. He already came. He paved the way. He made the way for us. You don't need to be the person that's going to save the world. You're not. Jesus already did that. We need to tell him about it. I'm going to leave you with this. Just look on your sheet. Just leave you with this part. Read the scriptures, Psalm 127. It says, "This." I love these scriptures. These have guided me. In some of those times. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Are you his beloved?
Amen.
You qualify. If you have trouble sleeping, you know what? You know what I found? I'm not saying it's true in every case, but I think it's a large percentage. When your mind is unsettled, that's when you have trouble sleeping. The most times I have trouble sleeping is when I have too many things going on. I keep going and going, and I'll go to sleep, and I'll wake up at 3 in the morning. That is the most frustrating feeling. You want to sleep, and you're up for 2 hours. And then your alarm is about to go off or just went off, and that's when you feel like you're going to fall back asleep. Anybody else ever?
Oh, yeah.
Why? And I can show you so many times when I woke up, I was stressed. I had too many things going on, trying to go too fast. So go, 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 then lose sleep, tired the next day to do more. That's counterproductive. That's foolish. Look at this in the New Living Translation. We are his beloved, and he gives his beloved sleep. Note, Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones." That apply to you and me or not?
Yes.
That's just for the chosen few, right?
No.
Not? That's not true. That's you and me. That's you and I. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives his loved ones rest. Amen. God is a good God. He wants us to be rested and strong and whole.